Today, I'm talking to Francis Peter of Sotheby's International Realty in Palm Beach, Florida. A real estate agent in Palm Beach, Florida in 2005, Francis stepped into residential real estate, working under and aligned with mentor Chris Condon, the best of the best. Today, Francis is also among the best of the best. Working alongside her husband, Todd Peter, they represent numerous premier listings and have an impeccable track record of success across the countless high-end sales and rental transactions, including 1473 North Ocean Boulevard, offered at $49,500,000, Celine Dion's 215 South Beach Road, offered at $38,500,000, 1255 North Ocean Boulevard, offered at $15,750,000, and not to mention one of their most recent sales, Gemini, offered for $110 million. Francis and I talk about how to sell to and for billionaires with discretion.
Thanks for listening to the Jerry Metcalf podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. This podcast was created for real estate agents across the country to come together, sharing ideas to take your, their, and our business to the next level.
All right, everybody. It's the Jerry Metcalf podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. And today we have Francis Peter coming to us from Palm Beach, Florida with Sotheby's International Realty. Francis, thanks for coming on today. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks so much for having me.
So everybody who's listening to this on a live stream, which we're not live right now, don't worry, Francis, but when you are listening, if you're listening on the live stream, we're going to just do a little reintroduction to make sure you know who you're talking to. So Francis works alongside her husband, Todd Peter, who has been on the show, but she is really the magic behind the scenes. And we have been talking about having her on the show for a long time to talk about how they make it happen. So for example, you guys just sold Gemini that was offered for $115 million. I think Sotheby's marketed that kind of as an island within an island.
It did.
And you've recently sold Celine Dion's property that was offered for close to $50 million. Another property close by just sold for $45 million. And then that was on, you know, these addresses better than I do because I've put my notes everywhere. But, and then there's another one that we were talking about earlier on 1473 North Ocean Boulevard that you just sold that was offered for $49.5 million. So this is who we're talking to, guys. And these are the most like down to earth, awesome people selling incredible properties and doing an amazing job. And you're going to tell us a little bit about how that happened. So give me a little more, elaborate on what I just told about what you guys are doing now. And then let's talk about how you got into the business.
So no, I mean, it's been a very successful year for us, in Palm Beach, just with everything going on in the world. And a lot of people are flooding to Florida, for not only the beautiful weather, but also the, tax situation here. And then, you know, a little bit of a more sunny lifestyle, I guess you could say. So yeah. It's been quite an interesting year, since quarantine hit last March, and it's been a huge blessing for us, thankfully. And, it's been interesting to watch.
Well, I think when the quarantine hit, just for a fun story, you were, one of your big ones was, you were in the middle of staging Gemini, about 15,000 square feet of it. Was that right? And then the quarantine hit and you had to be thinking like all of this and now a pandemic, like a world pandemic. Are you kidding me? Like what was going through your mind?
We were obviously concerned. We had built up a lot of listings and were really excited for season. And so when that happened, we were kind of cringing, but so was the rest of the world. So we weren't in any different of a spot there. But thankfully, the rental market, a lot of people were down here visiting family for spring break and realized they were not going to be going back home. So people started to panic, wanted didn't want to be staying maybe with their family or in-laws or whatever for the next foreseeable future. So they all started to pile on trying to get rentals to be down here. And then obviously people trying to get out of New York as fast as they could, or, and, you know, as that was kind of the epicenter of what was going on at the time. So we started doing rentals like crazy, which to us was a blessing because we're like, okay, well, we've got some things going on, so this is good. And then I would say around right after Easter, people were ready to start buying. And really, it hasn't stopped since then.
And it's Easter now. By the time the show, it'll be right after Easter. So literally, this has been going on for a year.
A solid year. I mean, working 7 days a week and nonstop.
Yeah.
For a year.
I mean, Jim and I remember seeing that. And I was like, that over 100 million, that's quite a listing to carry. A lot of agents are think like, wow, that would be so amazing. But it definitely is not something that's inexpensive to take on and market. Nor is it
right. You have to be obviously prepared to support the listing and how it should be supported marketing wise. I mean, obviously the company and other people would love to market it regardless, but you still have to take that on personally. So I think you have to be prepared for that. And also, you know, a listing like that, I loved working on that listing just because the beauty of it being there, being to kind of experience it for myself was really wonderful. So for me, there was always that kind of love for it as well as the hard work that goes into it. But it's a special place for sure.
Yeah. So let's go back and talk about becoming a real estate agent. How did you decide you were going to do this? How did you break in?
So I had graduated from college. I was supposed to be going on a trip with my mother the following January as my graduation gift. And so I was planning on moving to New York because I had been interning there quite a bit in college. And believe it or not, I met Todd 2 days after I graduated down here. And then my parents were talking to me because they were, you know, said you need to be doing something in the interim until you go on the trip, and didn't make sense to go to New York right away. So they suggested I speak with Chris Condon, who I know many people within Sotheby's are very aware of her name. And she was the top agent here in the Sotheby's Palm Beach office and was also my parents' realtor when we moved to Palm Beach when I was 4. So I had known her a really long time, and we went and had lunch, and she asked me if I would, you know, come help her, which was a great opportunity. And I did. And really the rest is history from then on out. I worked with her for 13 years. Amazing mentor to me and to Todd. And so I joined Sotheby's about 16 years ago. And then Todd joined about, I'd say 11 years ago. So, and you know,
so everybody, just to give everybody a refresher on Todd, Todd is now your husband.
Yes.
And father of your children.
Yes.
And Todd and you are also partners in business and in real estate agents together. So you were with Sotheby's International Realty, being mentored and working for Chris Condon. You worked with her for 13 years. How did Todd, where did Todd come into the picture? And let's talk about, like, when you went from assistant to be really becoming a real estate agent, and that, I know Todd's been a big part of that, but how did that all evolve?
I would say over time, you know, I obviously kind of earned my stripes over time, where Chris, you know, became more open to listing some of these larger listings with Todd and myself, because they needed more support than one person could really take on. It's just, it's a lot of legwork. And especially if you have a busy business already, to put that much focus into one listing, you know, takes up a lot of time, and then, you know, other listings can kind of suffer from that. So you need to be able to, you know, team up when it seems appropriate so that you can manage it and give everybody what they deserve as far as, you know, the best selling experience. So that's kind of how we got into the co-listing on some of the larger listings.
Yeah.
And that was years of training and working under her and understanding the appropriate, you know, way to handle those listings, what all that it goes into it, because there's so many privacy aspects to a lot of the more well-known sellers, you know, clientele that are well famous or well-known for one reason or another. And so that privacy, and it's also huge for the people looking at those properties to know that their privacy is being respected as well. So overall, it just takes a lot of thought and effort and guidelines to navigate those listings. And that even goes in with the marketing. I mean, a lot of our marketing is more edited and, you know, what we can and can't say.
You have to sell it for, you know, $100 million or $50 million or whatever, but you can't really talk about it, but you have to talk about it, but don't talk about it. It's kind of like when COVID came out. It's not going to kill you, but it will kill you, but it's not contagious, but it is contagious. What was that? Like, it's the same thing in these homes. And I want to bring to everybody's attention, you know, when people listen to somebody and they see the end of the story, or not the end, but they see you're there now. You've arrived in success. Oh yeah, but she worked for the right person. How many people have been assistants to somebody like Chris Condon? Well, not a lot, but how many people have done that and actually...
She had a lot of other assistants before
me. What was the difference between looking at how you got here? Everybody gets in a job like that. Not everybody, but a lot of people work with top agents to be top agents, but not everybody becomes. Most agents realize this is actually not what I want to do, or they just don't make it. What's the difference between you and them?
I think number one, listening is key. And there has to be a sense of drive, right? So I knew regardless of my background that I was going to have to make a name for myself and be able to build a business, whatever that might be, and support myself. So I always had a drive to work and to be responsible and also to pay attention. So, you know, I got a very good opportunity to work under someone who's very good at what she does. My mom likes to say that she taught me my manners and Chris told me how to keep my mouth shut. So, you know, I think that I was able to observe a lot, navigate the best approach. I think Chris and I were similar in a lot of ways, just in how we like to approach things, but I definitely learned a lot from her and navigating through certain situations. She also, I mean, did throw me, she put a lot of trust into me, which, you know, I try to remember that now that Todd and I have someone that assists us. It's been such a benefit, I think, to our assistant that I had had that same experience, because I know what she's going through and I know, you know, the learning curve, and I know I'm also more aware of making sure she's communicating fully with us too, so that it's a smooth, you know, partnership, which I think is important. But that's really kind of how I got into it. And I would say that listening and having the drive, and also, you know, you got to work hard for it. I mean, people build their own business. They're not just going to hand it over to anyone. You know, you work really, really hard to get where you are, as did Chris. And so there was definitely never going to be any handout opportunities. There would definitely be some co-list opportunities, which we would have to work so hard to be deserving of, and also do our part financially and workload, you know? So, that's a lot of what goes into those larger listings and kind of how we got to where we are. But I mean, I was in my 20s. There was lots of weekends. I'm showing properties. I'm having to get off a boat and just quickly get dressed and run somewhere. So, we really haven't had that flexibility of a lot of people, I feel like, that are young, is starting out, you know.
Well, that's...
You're committed. I mean,
that's the difference. It's like, not to be cliche and quote Gary V, but Gary V is not exactly luxury, but you remind me of a quote he says. He says, people say, oh, Gary, you're so lucky. He says, you know, when you were out at the beach on weekends, I was working. When you were, you know, drinking on Friday night, I was working. When you were... whatever, I was working, like I was working and I was working and I was working.
Right.
And, you know, and he also talks about like working at a level where, you know, a lot of people work all the time and don't get there. What's the difference? You're working at a level where you're on the ground, you know, the business, but right. you're high level strategic, especially in these, you know, big listings. You're not just taking on a listing and opening a door for people.
No.
So what is the secret in marketing yourself and in marketing properties, especially when there's such discretion, to ensure their success?
Obviously we agree to a marketing schedule, you know, what the owner's comfortable with, how much exposure they want or as little exposure they want, not to saturate the property too much. I mean, a lot of times these larger listings are already going to get picked up by different media outlets and they're going to launch anything and everything yeah. they can about it, you know? So a lot of that is kind of free press, whether we want it or not. That just tends to happen. So, and then, you know, a lot of times it's, you have your agreed upon photos that are approved and agreed upon video. And that's really the extent, you know, there's a lot I can't do social media wise, as far as filming on property or taking a pretty photo when I happen to be there showing. I just can't do it.
All that stuff, fine. It sounds like I would do that, but you'd forget like all of the things about
there's just protocols in place, and you want your sellers and the buyers to always feel comfortable, always know that you've got their best interest at heart, that you're not just, this is not just about promoting yourself. This is about, you know, doing what's best for everybody involved and making sure that they're happy in the end, the buyer's happy in the end. So you just have to be careful and take your ego out of it. I mean, yeah. It could have been a lot of pretty photos and videos that I could have splashed everywhere and would have loved to, you know, to promote the listing or myself. And it's just, you know, there are a lot of times where we just can't discuss what we work on and no comment if anyone calls us, and you leave it at that, you know, but those involved know, and hopefully we'll refer you to other people and just know that, you know, we'll use the most discretion we can and always try to do what's best for both parties.
And isn't that interesting that there are so many agents out there? I know there are some agents who have even built their career on the non-disclosures the actual agent had on a property. And then they could showcase the property and speak to it because there's no non-disclosure with them. And then, but it's interesting, right, to see how you've got agents who are really doing the business, who are discreet and quiet. And then the ones who aren't, who are putting out there to lead people to assume. Any thoughts you want to add on that? I'm like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, but right. Yeah,
I mean, you know, we're focused on what we're doing. So I think that if people are taking advantage of certain situations to try to elevate their careers or make it seem like it might be theirs or who knows, we leave that to, like, if it gets to a point that's inappropriate, we just leave that to the legal department
right.
or whoever's involved, you know, they can reach in and handle those situations. So we really just try to focus on what we're doing and really not pay too much attention because it's everywhere. So to try to manage that or worry about that is kind of just beyond our control.
And listening to you, something we talked about, I write notes as we talk, but you've said things like, you know, listening and learning how to listen and having that drive. And I wrote it like doing, you've got to do the work. You've got to show up and do it. You can't just show up and thanks for the listing and the name on it, but you got to do the work it takes to sell. And then the third thing you said was you learn it, paying attention. You said, my mom taught me manners and Chris taught me when to shut up or to shut up.
To keep my mouth shut. Yeah.
To keep your, that was it. Keep your mouth. Did I write mouth shut? I actually wrote that anyway, but same difference, but keep your mouth shut. Give us some examples, if you have any, on learning these lessons and keeping your mouth shut and the importance of that, because I think a lot of people have the opposite perspective on business. Right.
So Palm Beach is a unique market. It's a very small town. So again, if you are going to say something, mention something, you know, it's most likely going to get around to more people. Because I grew up here and I know a lot of people from here that may be selling or buying, you know, they will go up to my parents and mention that, oh, you know, did Francis tell you we're selling our house or we bought a house? And my mom will always say, she doesn't tell me anything. You know, no, I wasn't aware.
Isn't that great?
So
yeah, what a testimonial to you right there.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, my mom always makes fun of me for it, but just because I don't tell them anything, because it's other people's business to tell. So I never take it upon myself to share that kind of information. I think it is sensitive if someone is deciding to, you know, sell their home or make a move or whatever they're trying to do. I think that's for them to share with their friends or family. That's not my position. So it happens all the time. My mom always, you know, is like, Francis, so-and-so tells me this is happening. I'm like, if they decide to share that with you, that's great, mom. You know,
that's so cute.
It's never going to come from me.
But I'm your mom. Tiffany, because Greg, my husband, because he's not my partner.
Loose lips sink ships, right? So it's
right. Loose lips sink ships. Yeah.
You've got to just be very conscientious of other people's business and let them share the news. You don't have to share the news. A lot of times my parents will learn about it in the newspaper anyway. So
exactly.
You know, it's just. Just
whatever it is, they know it's good. They know it's exciting. But I write down, you know, in our business, even in the training out there and the coaching out there, there's so much push on calling and pushing business and not keeping yourself a secret, which I think we both agree on that. But a lot of what I'm hearing is understanding that in many capacities, especially if you're really going to sell and deliver business at your level that everybody aspires to, they aspire to it with more is more. And the reality is, when it comes to what you're loud about, less is more.
I think so. You know, I think advertising your listings and marketing your listings and making sure that sort of information is out there. And, you know, when sales happen, most of them are going to hit the newspaper anyway. Or if you're sending out a mailing where you're able to share certain information, that's amazing. So I think people, you just always have to be top of mind. You've always got to be marketing yourself in a lot of ways, just so people know that you're still doing it, that you're in the business, that you have listings, that you've had successes. And so that aspect, yes, promote the heck out of yourself for sure. Yeah. And I think there are appropriate channels to do that. But as far as sharing people's personal information or sharing that you're working on a celebrity listing, unless there is a, you know, strategic article that is placed so that, you know, the world knows that this is now, you know, being marketed by us, that kind of goes into the seller's hands on how they want to approach that. And then we'll obviously work with our PR department in New York to make sure that's handled appropriately. So that sort of stuff we kind of leave up to them. But the rest of it, I mean, promote yourself for sure, but you've got to do the marketing. You got to spend the money. We have a unique market where our local newspaper, you know, a lot of people are going digital, and I do think digital is the future for sure. But we do have a local newspaper that everyone, you know, pays attention to. And we've had to spend a lot of money promoting ourselves in that newspaper to let people know that this is what we do and we do it full time. And, you know.
Well, and the access to digital has actually made doing print more of a differentiator.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that too. You know, it's interesting with COVID though, a lot of people were like, oh, don't do the magazines because no one's touching the magazines right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pick up the magazine at the doctor's office.
But my team didn't stop and it blew our, we have more and more listings. 90% of our business is closing listings, which is crazy.
Yeah.
When there's no inventory. But yeah. I think it comes from that, the magazines and the pushing that marketing.
You definitely have to do it. So yeah. I think you can be strategic in where you choose to do it. I think you just need to make sure that you're getting as many eyes on it as possible. So I think there's a way to be smart about your dollar spend. And that's something we really take a look at when we're doing the larger listings, because you could just spend the money like crazy, you know, marketing it all over the place. So I think you do have to be very careful in your approach and make sure that you're spending it wisely, because you can spend a fortune. And I don't think that's always the smartest route to take. So,
exactly.
You know, you gotta be.
Go ahead. Finish what you're sorry. What have you found? What have been some of your biggest challenges in being a real estate agent over the last, because you've been in this for how many, 16 years? 16 years. Right. You started as an assistant and it kind of evolved into being a real estate agent.
Yeah. I mean, I always had my license. I was always a licensed assistant. So I always had my real estate license, and I did have some, you know, smaller listings that would come my way and that sort of thing. But for the most part, I gave most of my commitment to Chris at the time, my mentor. So I would say the biggest challenges have been, and I think we're still needing to work on this, is boundaries for ourselves, not to burn out.
Not everybody.
I think, you know, this year especially, obviously we know we're in a very unique market right now. We do foresee it to last for quite a while, but you never know. So we're trying to take advantage of that, and we are working really hard. But 7 days a week for a year plus is draining. So yeah. I think it also took us a long time to finally hire an extra person to help us. So, you know, I kind of done the support role for a long time. And I was starting to burn out a little bit from just doing that for so long. So we did hire a wonderful assistant who's been with us almost 2 years now. She just gets better and better, obviously, more and more time doing it day in and day out. And I think having that support is really helpful for burnout, just because you have that extra person to lean on if need be. And so I think, you know, it's always challenging when you kind of are trying to control it all, you know, to give up some of that control and trust that somebody else can take it on and obviously support you in a way that you would feel, you know, like everybody's getting the treatment they deserve and the business they deserve. So I think that's been challenging. We're also, I mean, I think one of the challenges that we finally kind of have overcome over the years is we're in a market where everyone and their brother has their real estate license.
Oh yeah.
So everyone we know pretty much has their real estate license. Some are more full-time. Others just, you know, having a few sales is an awesome year and all they're really looking to do. So at first, you know, you would be kind of like, oh man, you know, there's just so many people with their license out there, or, you know, other
but
people.
How many people are doing business at your level?
There, that's the thing. I mean, there's only a handful of us that are really 100%. But I think too, you know, it's been kind of a soul searching last 2 years for me, especially. And I think the gratitude stuff is huge. I think it's a great thing to do. I think it helps you recognize things that may not go your way, having gratitude for the opportunity, having the gratitude, you know, to know, I mean, it's kind of changed, I feel like, our whole business in the last 2 years. Things that used to upset us don't upset us anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we can be excited for other agents and their successes. And I think having good relationships with other agents in your field is super important, because you're going to be working together for a really long time.
Amazing what it does for your business, frankly. I figured that out way too much.
And so, you know, you and I had spoken about that before, that, you know, we've had opportunities where we get a listing after it's been on the market for a year and we sell it in 2 days. And I think the biggest thing is to be approachable by agents, you know, at any level, and people trust that you're going, you know, to do right by them and right by, you know, the seller. And so we've had a lot of successes just by being approachable. We're also, I mean, we sold, you know, anything from a $400,000 condo to a $100 million listing this year. So, I mean, we're kind of
$115 million listing, just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So
every million counts. But let's talk about that being approachable, because many of us realize, but not everybody, the bigger the price point, you very often get more buyers who just aren't real. And that's something you've got to navigate, because there are buyers who they seem like they're real, but they're not. And buyers who you might assume aren't real, but they are. And you've got to manage that with grace, manage that so that you don't lose buyers, manage that in being approachable, and making sure your client is also protected. I think a lot of agents make the mistake of not being approachable to protect their clients, and it actually can hurt the deal altogether. For example, a listing you guys sold in 2 days, and a lot of it probably had to do with being approachable. But give us being approachable. What does that mean when you're in a $50 to $100 million listing?
I mean, listen, we take every call, right? So we're not ignoring phone calls. We do get back to people and answer our phones. And I would say, since we are in a smaller community, we know a lot of the big players, but at the same time, we are very well aware that buyers can come from anywhere. We've seen it happen. So you can't base it solely off of the relationships you already have with agents and knowing that they're also doing their due diligence and giving you the background information that you need. But I would say most people looking at the higher end homes, you can figure out who they are and what their background is pretty quickly. You know, so it's not as hard as it used to be, I guess you could say. If someone gives you, you know, what their background is and their names, which we have to provide usually to our sellers with these bigger homes, you know, we're doing those fact checking. We're not just booking showings to anybody. So there's protocol and there's NDAs. People have to sign the NDA. So, you know, we take it seriously, and thankfully we've had a pretty good success rate with that. So,
yeah. I think there's, you know, when you're dealing with that, I find with time, you get really good at even navigating the conversations with buyers and learning how to verify information quickly.
Yeah.
So that you make sure you get the right buyers in the door.
The internet is also very helpful.
Yeah.
If you recognize someone's voice, you look them up, maybe find a video, the voice matches the voice you were speaking to.
Right.
It's helpful. You might have to do things like that just to make sure, you know, that you're, because you're not doing FaceTime a lot of times, you're just doing phone conversation. So, yeah.
So what has been your biggest aha in being a real estate agent?
In what regard? I mean,
like, you get into this business and, you know, your friends are all going to hire you, and you're just going to put a sign in the yard, and you're going to collect checks and eat bonbons while you wait.
Well, I guess the funniest thing people say to us is, oh, well, you get to really set your own schedule as a real estate agent. I was like, no,
right.
Actually, everyone else
hours you work, maybe a day.
No, but I mean, we are in everyone else's schedule. Makes our schedule at this point, and maybe that's the wrong approach. I don't know, but you know, maybe that goes back to how we need to find better boundaries.
But, you know,
we have to be available, and I think that's what we've always aimed to do. And I know, you know, Chris has always made herself available and always been there. I mean, agents call us. I mean, sometimes you'll call an agent and say, "Hey, can I show this?" "Oh, sorry, no. I'm doing this, or I've got enough." I mean, we always try to find a way to show and to accommodate and to get as much exposure to our clients as possible. Yeah. So I think the aha was like, oh no,
you can't,
it's not my schedule. This is, you know, well, this is a grind. And we are, if you're showing all day, well, then guess what? We're usually in the office that evening, you know, catching on emails, getting comps done. You know, we have the assistant now that helps a lot of those things, but there's a lot of stuff we have to oversee too.
Yeah. So, but I love what you said about, I want to be available. Like, I can't tell you how many agents, it's the agents, this is where make no boundaries to be successful, perhaps, but, or it's properly leveraging people as well, but it's the agents who are available are the agents that are the top agents. Every time, whether it's people I interview or people in my market.
So
the agents whose listings are difficult to show are the agents who are not the top agents.
And you don't usually call them because you know you're going to get a no sometimes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh my gosh, who can we call? Who can we get in? Oh, well, so-and-so always makes themselves available.
They're always helpful. They've always got other off-market properties. They know what they're doing. They've got great insight. I want to talk to them anyway. And then a deal comes together.
Yeah. 100%.
My own little aha. Maybe that's why I still don't have boundaries.
I will say though, you know, regardless of how long you've been in the business, there is always something new that you're learning in all these, in all the different deals you're working on. So there's been so many times where it's just like, never dealt with that before. And I think that will continue to happen throughout our career. It's just, you're never going to have it all figured out. It's just how you, your approach to each and every situation, and how can you handle each of these situations or challenges that may arise with grace. And, you know, as I said to you before, that having a good legal team behind you, just as that support, sometimes is also amazing. So, you know,
time, liability.
Yeah.
So much.
We have an amazing manager as well. That I think it makes every difference in the world.
One more question, and then we're going to get our final three. What do you find has been your biggest lesson in what it means or what it takes to become or be a successful top, especially luxury real estate agent?
I mean, you make a lot of sacrifice, honestly.
You know?
So I, as a mom of two, I have a 3 and 6 year old. It's make sure giving them what they need, you know, because I think there has to be balance for everybody's happiness and to be successful. And so, you know, Todd and I are lucky because we are a team, so we can divide and conquer in a lot of ways.
And we haven't talked about that much, and I'm going to throw this one on you before we do our final three. But what is your biggest advice if you're going to, in working with your spouse, and you guys have done it so successfully. You're an amazing team and have just done things most real estate agents dream of. What is your secret as a couple and working together?
I would say we are lucky. We did the personality testing and we are opposites. So luckily we are not challenging each other for the same role. You know what I mean? So when I say divide and conquer, we can absolutely do that because what he enjoys is not what I enjoy and vice versa, or what we're good at. So, he's really good at the negotiating and crunching numbers. I'm really, my strong suit is showing and marketing and, you know, getting listings off the ground, that sort of thing. And so we complement each other really well, which we're very lucky because that doesn't always happen, right? I mean, I meet so many couples that are like, how do you work together? I would just like, I'm not sure I could stand working with my spouse. And, you know, thankfully Todd and I enjoy being around one another, but at the same time, you know, I know when to give him space and he knows, you know, what I'm good at. So we just kind of
respect
and divvy that up. But also I think what helped was me having so many years experience. He was always in real estate, development more so than sales for residential, but he knows, I think he respects the amount of time and effort I've put into the business and respects, you know, my opinion in a lot of ways, because I've been doing it for so long. So I think that's helpful. And I also think that even though he a lot of times is in the forefront with a lot of the negotiations and client relations and that sort of thing, when he comes home at the end of the day, I totally understand what kind of day he could have been having. So I think we can relate to one another in that way, which I think is helpful because it's not like we each go on with our days and we have no clue what the other one might've experienced that day or what they're going through. So we can kind of relate a lot in that way.
Yeah. That's an empathy is really what I hear. It's like, don't forget respect and don't forget empathy, which they're hand in hand.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're not perfect. We have our challenges. We go through those bumps in the road, but at the same time, you know, personality wise, it does work. So it's been good.
All right. Final three questions. And I warned you, I love to throw this on guests, but what do you find has been your most powerful resource or tool? It could be technology. It could be something you've done. It could be a marketing piece, whatever, in the success of your career as a real estate agent.
The biggest marketing tool?
Biggest anything. Biggest resource.
I mean, I will give credit to Chris as far as being a big resource for me, having that, you know.
My mentor. Yeah.
Yeah. I think having a mentor and having that guidance. And how much grace she showed, because there's a lot of people in the industry that are, you know, very cutthroat and think that's the approach. And you've just got to, you know, may not be respectful of those around them and, you know, kind of think that's the way to success. I was very lucky to have someone that showed it from a more graceful approach. And I think that's been helpful and also good for my state of mind, good for my sanity, you know, because it's not in me to be anything else. I think it'd be very hard for me to feel like I had to, you know, do something behind someone's back or you know, just be kind of a shark in the industry. It'd be kind of hard for me. That's just how I'm built.
Yeah.
But she showed me how to do it with a lot of grace. And I think that having that was a huge help for me, you know? And I know we talked about this before. It's not like a handing over of the reins. It's really the mentors are there to really teach you how to do it well. And especially if you relate personality wise with that person, you know, you can get a lot out of it.
Yeah. What is a book, or if there is a book that's just changed your life or career, or that we all have to read if you were going to advise us about?
You know what? We watched some of the master classes during quarantine. I feel like a lot of people.
Oh, fun.
And so we got the Chris Voss book on negotiating.
Best. Yeah. So
that's a great one.
The difference, everybody. If you listen to this podcast a few times, you know I'm a fan.
Are you? Oh, good.
So I have him as a guest of honor to a client party. That guy has changed my life. That book is like that was the pathway to like peace of mind and not having like heart issues from the pressure of this industry.
Yes.
And actually becoming really a good negotiator.
Exactly. And so, you know, I got really into the master classes, and then Todd, I finally found one that I thought he would enjoy, and that was Chris Voss one. And next thing I know, all the books are showing up to the house. And
awesome. You know, so what is your book?
No, I mean, that definitely one. I'm trying to, oh my gosh. I also, Fennett, I've got them all in my room. I can go grab them. She's at Christie's, and it's Laura Fennett, I believe. She has a book that's great for women on
Laura Fennett.
Yeah.
We got to get this. Well, it's not coming up.
I've got it in my room. I could grab it. That's a great book. The Chris Voss book is great, though, and definitely been. And we also, I read the Ninja Training book.
Yeah.
As far as real estate's concerned, I think those would be like more the highlights.
Which one? Laura Fennett? Is it Laura Fennett? Is that how you say it?
F-E.
F as in Frank?
Yeah. Do you want me to go grab it?
You've got to now. We're dying to know what it is. And everybody, I'm going to Google it while we wait, just in case.
Lydia Fennett.
Lydia Fennett. Okay.
The most powerful woman in the room is you.
Okay. Somebody literally, actually Michelle Harris in San Francisco, an agent in San Francisco, literally messaged me that book yesterday.
No way.
Yeah.
So she came and spoke, and I got to meet her, and she's amazing. And also happens to be a good friend of a friend of mine.
Show us the picture for all of us watching. Show us one more time. Lydia Fennett, the most powerful woman in the room is you. Well, we knew that. I love it.
That's a great one. The other thing I think has been the most helpful to me, I think when you feel challenged and you're not getting the success that you're looking for, whether it be in life or work, whatever it is. And this kind of goes to the ninja selling. They kind of highlight gratitude a lot in the ninja selling book. Yeah. But I started doing the 5-minute journal. Sorry, it's got ink all over it, but.
Love it, the 5-minute journal.
The 5-minute journal is all about gratitude and asks you essentially what you're thankful for. Each and every morning, you spend about 2 or 3 minutes in the morning, 2 or 3 minutes in the evening. And if you really commit to it, which Ninja kind of talks about a little bit, it can be very transformative. And what was so interesting is so much that I wrote down for, I'm talking 6 months, like committing, doing it. A lot of that has come to fruition, which is really amazing.
An example of, you said a lot of what you wrote down came to fruition.
I'm going to share what's not too personal, but how much ton I wanted to make in a year.
Wow.
How many listings we wanted to be working on and how many we wanted to be selling. Also balanced with, you know, family stuff and personal things that I wanted to work on. Being grateful, you know, it's funny because you start and you're always kind of thankful for your family and your health and your home and your friends and your support system. And then later on, I started to really list my support system, which I kind of, you know, kind of glossed over a little bit, just kind of grouped everybody, you know? And then when I started kind of naming, whether it's our babysitter, whether it's my manager, whether it's, you know, my husband, my acupuncturist, whoever supports me in whatever way, health, mental, you know, work, whatever, I started to name those people and really show that gratitude to those people that have helped me. And I think this has been kind of my mission over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, I think being a mom, trying to keep it together. And also Todd and I really branching out on our own, which can be scary when you're both commission-based, you know, working in the same industry. So that's been a huge, huge thing for me. Has been working on that. I also did the Deepak Chopra 21 day abundance class, which I really delved deep during quarantine into some of those things.
Right? Like it gave us a chance.
Yeah.
Now, usually I'm always like, just one. Sorry. So of all of those awesome recommendations, but you went down such a good path with that. Like, which one is the one? The one book, if you just got to pick one of those, which everybody, I'm going to say them one more time. Never.
Well, I mean, this is more of a journal, so I guess you can't, I don't know
that's
if you
want to that,
but I think this has been the most effective in my life.
Yeah, that's the 5-minute journal. So never split the difference. You are the most powerful woman in the room.
Ninja I read this,
journal
I read this on a trip. The start to my transformation, I picked this up in the airport and I got severely made fun of with my friend I was traveling with, but it's called You're a Badass.
Oh, I love that one. You are a badass.
That looks how to stop doubting your greatness and start living an awesome life.
That book is so much fun. Or The Subtle Art. So actually Shin Schultz.
Yes. I know that one too. And
Dennis Carvajal was like reinforced. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yes. So that's one I haven't read yet. My mom and my sister both read it. So that I still need to read.
Oh, you got to read it because it really makes you go, oh, yeah, I better be careful what I choose to give a fuck about, because like the energy I put out there is important. Let's put it in the right places.
It's true. And I think, you know, I mean, I'm 38 and I'm, again, just finished having kids and you're trying to do a lot and try to keep it together and be the best self that you can be, especially for your kids. And also to be able to absorb stuff at work, whether it be other clients or other stresses and how to deal with it. And also to be thankful in a lot of ways, because I think we can go down that rabbit hole.
I love how every time you come back to gratitude, and you know, the quote about gratitude is the mother of all virtues, or the parent, or I don't know.
That's been a big one for me in the last few years. Cause I was not in that same place a few years ago. So I think it's important and it's helpful in all businesses. Obviously it's helpful in everyone's life in different ways, but it's been definitely helpful for me. So.
All right. Last question. If there's one thing you want to be sure we take away or remember from this interview, if we're just going to not remember anything else, what is it?
Oh man. There's a way to do this business with grace. You don't have to be too cutthroat about it. I think that's a nice thing to think about with this business, because I think a lot of people look at real estate agents as, you know, hungry and greedy. And I think that if you're able to accomplish it where people notice that you do it, you try to do it well and with their best interest at heart and with grace. I think that's a really great takeaway. You know, it's nice. I would say that COVID's been really tough in a lot of ways, but COVID's also been the one thing, because for a while I always felt like, is my career really helping people? Is my career really, you know, like, or do people just think we're greedy and real estate agents make too much or whatever they think, right?
Yeah.
And I think with COVID, the home became such an important place to people. People really started to think like, oh, I can live in this house. I'm just going to travel and do whatever, you know, and it really became this sanctuary for people, right? Because you're stuck there for however long, and you want to love where you live. So I think that through COVID and quarantine, it actually gave me a much better perspective on what I do. And it made me feel good when I found people that rental that just, they felt like so grateful and thankful to be, you know, here and be in a sunshine with their children or their family or whatever. Or if they found that home and they're just so, again, grateful to be here because this is giving them a better experience than what they might've been experiencing where they were before. So, and we've seen a lot of people upgrade their lifestyles, you know, throughout this, being like, actually I need that extra room, or I want that gym space, or, you know, so we've seen a lot of people doing that. So it's just, it's given a lot more meaning to what I do, which I think is nice. Yeah.
Wow. I love it. Well, thank you. Great advice. Remember, this can be done with grace.
I think that's hard for people to take notice, you know?
Yeah. I love that.
There's a lot of successful people, you know, who do it a lot of different ways. And I kind of would love to see more of the success be with those that, as we said, approachable, do it with grace, trustworthy.
It brings it back to how you guys do business, and it brings it back to your mentor.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much, Frances.
Thank you.
Everybody, Frances Peter. She's from Palm Beach in Florida with Sotheby's International Realty. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Jerry.
Thanks for listening to the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. If you like this episode, please share it with friends. To find more episodes, search Jerry Metcalf Podcast on any platform for podcasts. Or go to jerrymetcalfpodcast.com. That's jerrymetcalfpodcast.com.